Hello, everyone. This is now who is going to be becoming your favorite author, Ursula Figelepi. I'm back with you for the second episode in discussing my new book called Accepted in the Beloved. It's available on Amazon.com. You just Google it under my name, Ursula Figelepi, and that is the title, Accepted in the Beloved. So if you just type in the search bar on Amazon that title, it should bring the book up. And it is available, as I said, on Amazon.com. So last episode, we were talking about, I was just sharing with you a little bit about seeking God, about finding your God-given purpose and your destiny. And I gave you the example of the Williams sisters, right? And one of the things I just want to share with you about what struck me with them is I remember when they came into the game of tennis, they used to wear braids a lot, right? And they used to wear beaded braids. And I just remember how we used to get so upset because whenever they played on the court, especially at Wimbledon and on the French Open, and I think to some extent the Australian Open, but I remember it distinctly for Wimbledon, is that every time the beads fell off, they would get fined, right? Imagine that. And that's just, I mean, that's just the hairstyle, right, that we wear. And for you to be punished for how you look, because that's how we interpreted it, is because of the way you look and how you're choosing to present yourself to the world, you're being punished for it. But in any event, my point where I was going with that is, had they allowed that to stop them, they wouldn't even have a movie made about them and their life and how they rose to be on top of the world. How many years were they ranked number one in the singles and the doubles and in the different rankings that you have in the World Tennis Association? Now imagine if that was your destiny, if your destiny was to be number one in whatever it is that God has called you to do and has gifted you to do, but because of what happened, how you were rejected, or how perceived yourself to be rejected by people, you then stop. Now think of how many people allow those type of challenges to stop them. And we know life has challenges, and as believers especially, right? I want to address the believers slightly first, is that you know that the enemy is always working to stop you from fulfilling the calling of God in your life and from maximally exploiting the gifts that God has given you. For those of you who are to become believers, you know how there's always a challenge, whether that it's through people or circumstances that threaten to stop you from fulfilling also your God-given purpose. Because God has gifted every single person on this earth with abilities, with skills, and with talent. And what we do as we're living life and as we're growing is discovering those talents. God already knows. Because he's the one who gifted them to. There's a one of my favorite scriptures that you're going to find in the book is Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. This is God addressing a young Jeremiah who's a teenager, and he says to him, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before the foundations of the world, I knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a prophet." Imagine that. That applies to every single one of us. God knew us before the found, before he even formed the world. He already knew that he was gonna have an Ursula Figelepi be born in South Africa, in East London, to these types of parents, and to grow up in this type of neighborhood and in this type of circumstance. And before I was even conceived, imagine that. Before I was even conceived, God already ordained that one of the things I would do would be to be an author and a publisher. And I'm an attorney, by the way. Imagine that. These are all the things that God had ordained for me to be, and to be a pastor, because I'm also a pastor. Man, I didn't even know. I didn't even choose that path. But by seeking God and trying to obey the Holy, you know, when you seek God, don't just seek God and then disregard what he's telling you. Obey. And one of the things that I hope we learn, you know, as we do, as you read the book, is to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and to obey it. And now I'd really strongly encourage you to get a copy of the book so that we can read along. You read along with me and you pick up on, as I pick up on certain aspects of the book, because I'm obviously not going to read the entire book, but I'm just going to be picking up on certain sections of it. So, you can read along with me because this is meant to be relatable. This is meant to be, it's personal. It's my personal testimony. So it's obviously very personal to me, right? So to make it even more personable and relatable for you, it's great if you read along with me. So anyway, join me as I drink my favorite cup of tea, into tea these days, and we'll continue reading along. Right. So as I was talking about this, what I wanted to highlight also with the Williams sisters with that example was that, they used all the different instances of rejection, being called too aggressive, being fined, and just being fined and being found at fault for all sorts of weird things, right? They used that to fuel them. And you know what? By the grace of God, God helped me to use the rejection that I experienced from different people, and especially people in authority, help me use that to fuel them. I used to say, if I'd encounter an instance of rejection by somebody in authority, a lecturer or whoever, I'd be like, fine, I'll show them. That was my attitude. I'd be like, I'll show them. I was still my undelivered self, right? But what I'm so thankful to God about is that instead of me saying, cowering and then, hiding. I mean, I hid, in different ways, but we'll explore that later. But like, instead of me then like shying away, and just allowing that to oppress me, to not go after what I believed God had for me, I use it to fuel me. And that's my encouragement to you. Every obstacle, every challenge you encounter, just collect yourself. Yes, experience, feel the pain and whatever, but don't dwell there. And then just, take a exhale, take a breath of fresh air. Encourage yourself and just forge ahead and allow it to and allow it to fuel you. So I want to share with you that I'm also, I mean, it's a process, right? It's a growing process. It's a continuing process for me too. And I'm trusting God. I'm learning to trust God a lot more with my uncertainties, my hurts, my vulnerabilities. I no longer just harbor them and dwell on them and rehearse them. I hand them over to God and I say, Lord, okay, I didn't like the way this person said this or did that or whatever. And sometimes he'll show me, like, no, you're just overreacting. It's you now, right? And we gotta get to a point where we own our own responses to people and to things. That's part of growth, right? So one of my favorite scriptures as well, I want to share a lot of scriptures with you, so get ready. And if you have the book, you'll have some of the scriptures. A lot of the scriptures are already in the book. If they're not in the book, you can always look them up on your Bible. So have the book and have your Bible next to you. And your cup of coffee, your cup of tea, whatever your favorite drink is. So as we read along. So one of my favorite scriptures I was saying is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. They are not thoughts of evil to harm you or to hurt you, but they are to prosper you, to give you hope and give you an expected end. Now, one thing you'll learn about the Bible, and you'll see it also throughout the book, is that I mention what translation it is because the Bible has different translations, right? Because different groups translated the original Latin Vulgate. And the Greek Septuagint, they translated those different Bibles into the various languages that we all speak. Obviously, the first one was in English, but German, French, closer, whatever language it is that you speak, Spanish. So you'll find that I'll mention those. So I'm saying that because in that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, some translations will say, "But I have a future and a hope, or I have an expected end," But all of it means the same thing, right? That God's thoughts towards you are not to harm you. They're not for your evil. They're for your benefit. They're for your good. So if that's how God is thinking about you, imagine what else he has for you. So just to share briefly. So my first recollection, this is my introduction now in chapter one. Chapter one. It reads as follows. My first recollection of rejection was at age 3. I was a very chubby baby. And I actually think on reflection, I wasn't as chubby as I thought, but I had really chubby cheeks. And you have baby fat as well. And I think what happened was also I had, we had a helper at home, who was helping out with cleaning and stuff. And looking after us because my mom worked, my dad also worked, both my parents worked. And she always used to like would rub me the cheeks, hold you with your cheeks and call me nicknames. But the nicknames were all about fatty and those types of nicknames and that. So what I wanna encourage you is be careful what you say to your children because that leaves a lasting impression. Because I carried that through to my adulthood. For the longest time, I always believed that I was overweight. But then when I look back at all my photos, even the ones where I was like 3 or 9 or 8 or whatever, or a teenager, I actually said, no, actually, I wasn't that fat, Yes, I had chubby cheeks and whatever. But for me, that was immediately a rejection because she wasn't saying it. She thought she was saying it fondly, but it actually made me very self-conscious. And affected my self-image very negatively. So I always perceived myself to be fighting against fat and body weight. And how now they talk about your body image and how now you see now like you even have plus size models and whatever because we're trying to help women and people actually not because it's not just women, it's both men and women. To accept, it's all about identity. And I listened to such an interesting thing, and this is what this book on rejection is about. It's about how the rejection can affect your self-conception of who you are, your identity, how you see yourself. And you end up seeing yourself differently from how God sees you. And for you to even get to the point of being able to walk out in your destiny and your God-given purpose. You've got to change how you see yourself and align your self-image with what God is saying about you and the identity that He has given you. And this is what this book is about, as you read. And I was listening to a prophetess who was talking about how there's this whole move about people trying to change their identities and who they are. And what she mentioned, I think it was Dr. Jolene Whittaker, she was mentioning that your identity is tied to your destiny. It's tied to your purpose. So when you reject whom God made you to be and whom He called you to be, you're rejecting the destiny that He had already preordained for you. Remember, I said before you were formed in your mother's womb, God had already ordained you to be a teacher, pastor, prophet, doctor, whatever, right? God has ordained for you artist, musician, athlete. But if you reject that, you'll never play in the NBA. You'll never play sevens rugby. You'll never be a great tennis player. You'll never be a great musician because you don't see that in yourself. And it is something that you discover as you grow and as you walk in this journey of life. I have a beautiful card here, a very dear sister of mine and friend that she gave to me. It's called Life is a Journey. And it's got a bicycle on it. I hope you can see it. I just want to show you. It says, life is a journey. And it sure is. Life is a journey. And the beauty, it even has different arrows pointing different directions, back where you came from, forward where you're going to. And the point about it is that a journey is not instant, right? A journey is not like a once-off thing. It's ongoing. It's progressive, which means that your discovery of yourself is progressive. And what was even greater is that God's revelation of Himself to you, what He means to you, where He wants you to be, and your relationship with Him is equally progressive. Even salvation is progressive, right? You get born again once, but your continued salvation. The scriptures say, work out your own salvation with reverence and trembling. You obviously don't work it out off at once. You work it out because you're walking it out. You're discovering your purpose. You're discovering, you know, the deliverance is like, oh, you remove rejection. Oh, this is, you remove this thing now. You remove that and that and that. And the more things that you remove, it's like layers. It's like an onion. It's just layers and layers that need to be peeled off us until you get to the heart, right? The precious aspect of it. Like artichokes have hearts and those types of bulbs and that. And so, when I experienced my rejection, as I said, I started off when I was 3 years old. I also didn't have a great relationship with my biological father. And you will have heard it so many times about how our father greatly impacts their child's identity. Because it's the first experience of a man, especially for women. That's your first experience of a man. Is with your father, if you grow up with your father, that is, you know. And even if you don't grow up with father, because that's just, the right there is rejection. If your father's not in the picture, whether, you know, it's through his own doing or circumstances or, you know, death, he has separated you, that in itself can constitute rejection. And because a child's identity is tied so much to the father, when their father rejects them, can you imagine the profound impact that has? And if you think about the father, it is the sperm of a father who determines your DNA. Selah, let that sink for a moment. Your identity, even your biologically. Even biologically, it's tied to your father. Yeah, that right there. And I guess that's why Jesus had to have a divine father who was God and an earthly mother. And because he had that divine father, the blood he had was pure because it was from God. Wow. Even for me, that just hit right there. Ooh, that just hit right there. So I think at this moment, I just want to pray for anybody who may have experienced some form of rejection from a parent and especially their father. And this is part of the journey that we're on to just receive that healing. And I'm going to pray a prayer with everyone. And just note that the book also has a lot of prayers and declarations that I encourage you to speak over yourselves. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you are God, our Father. You are our Heavenly Father. You are our first Father. Father, we repent for any negative words or thoughts we may have had or behavior that we may have done against our earthly fathers because of any perceived rejection or whatever it is that led us to do that. We thank you for forgiving us of that in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you that you come into the hearts of those people who have not experienced the love of a father, who have not experienced a present father in their lives. Touch their hearts and heal them, Lord God. Your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted. So, Father God, let them feel your presence right now. Let them feel your closeness to them right now in the name of Jesus. Your word, God, also promises us that you are a mender of broken hearts. And you are close to those who are contrite in spirit, Father God. Mend the broken hearts of your children, Lord God. In that while they may have been rejected or they believe they may have been rejected by their earthly fathers, you, our Heavenly Father, has accepted them, God. You've accepted them in the Beloved, who is Jesus Christ, a joint heir, Lord God, our first brother. Because that's what your word tells us, that Jesus Christ is our brother. So if Christ is our brother, it means that you are our father because you are his father. And he says that numerous times in his word, Lord God. And your word tells us, even in Romans 8.